Welcome to North Square Investments Active Insights Podcast. North Square Investments is dedicated to bringing differentiated active investment strategies to financial advisors and investors through a multi-boutique asset management platform. Today, Mark Goodwin, Chief Executive Officer of North Square Investments, will discuss the high conviction equity strategy of Advisory Research Investment Management with Matt Swaim, Managing Director and Executive Chairman. Advisory Research is a partner firm in the North Square platform and sub-advisor to North Square Advisory Research Small Cap Value Fund, ticker ADVGX. Mark and Matt, we look forward to your discussion.
Thanks, Diane. As you mentioned, at North Square, we seek out best-in-class active managers for our platform. And our partners at Advisory Research have a history of success with their approach to fundamental equity investing. Matt, thanks for being with us today.
Mark, great to be with you.
Matt, Advisory Research has managed equity portfolios for over 30 years, working with a base of both institutional and retail clients. Your investment approach is very research intensive with a strong focus on stock selection. What is the core investment philosophy of your team in managing equity portfolios?
Sure, Mark. We've been working within the small cap markets for well over 20 years, as you mentioned. And you know, our core investment philosophy really begins with deep fundamental research. And the trick of this is 25 years ago, there were lots of fundamental value investors out there working in the small cap markets. Today, that's different. So while we still do the same level of detailed work at the fundamental level with each of our businesses, underwriting them for value, underwriting them for value creation, the part that we've really added over the last 5 to 7 years is a more engaged approach with our companies. Because the reality is finding a stock that's undervalued in the marketplace in the small cap area, there's lots to choose from. But we need to find a company that's well aligned with us and working towards an outcome for value creation. So, you know, our core investment philosophy still starts with fundamental research, but we've really added an engagement element to how we work with our companies. And this involves working with our management teams, working with our boards, setting good governance policies, incentives plans, and making sure that all are aligned for good outcomes for shareholder value creation.
Thanks, Matt. What would you say are the key characteristics for a stock to ultimately become a position in your small cap value portfolio?
Sure. Yeah, we always focused on downside first. So, you know, when we're deploying capital on behalf of our clients, we want to make sure that we have our downside protected. And this doesn't mean that there can't be volatility in the markets and that we can see some declines in our issues. But ultimately, we believe if we bought it at the right price with a low multiple, a solid balance sheet, that ultimately, we at the minimum, we'd be able to walk away with our money or something more. So we want to make sure that we're buying good, solid companies with cash flow balance sheets and assets that have value. We then begin to work towards the execution of the upside plan. And this is really where our engagement that I mentioned previously comes into fold. Do we have an operating plan to improve the operations, to potentially enhance margins? Do we have a plan to deploy capital inside the business for organic growth opportunities? And then as we work through those, is there a strategic opportunity where this asset could either be more valuable to a strategic acquirer, or perhaps we can be an acquirer of another business and continue to scale the enterprise? But we start with downside, move through our operational levers to create value, and ultimately strategic levers to enhance the full value for our shareholders.
Matt, many small cap strategies have several hundred positions in their portfolio. While your portfolios are concentrated with high conviction positions, how do you build risk management into the process of portfolio construction and sizing?
Sure. We start with the stock specific things that we can control. So many of those I mentioned previously, by balance sheets that are healthy, by businesses that are generating cash flow, by management teams that think like investors and they're deploying capital appropriately. So we certainly, the stock specific risk protections are certainly in place. But then we also do other things to bolster our downside. You know, we look at other factor risks. Leverage is one, earnings is one, cash flow is one. You would expect that our portfolios look better on those metrics than the broad market, which continues to make sure that we're well positioned from a risk perspective. And then finally, we use diversification. You know, we're looking at sectors and making sure we're well diversified across sectors. And I think the thing that's often lost on investors today is that you get a majority of 95%+ of the benefits of diversification only buying 20 issues in different sectors. So as we're able to put portfolios together of 30 to 40 positions, we become very well diversified and bolster the risk mitigation for our clients.
Thanks, Matt. Equity markets have had a great run since November of 2023, and the Federal Reserve seems like they may be easing rates sometime this year, albeit perhaps later than we thought and perhaps fewer cuts than we thought. Inflation has been improving, but it's still a persistent issue, while economic growth has been resilient. With that backdrop, where do you see the equity markets currently, and what's your outlook for 2024?
Yeah, I think we need to have the perspective that the Fed has been holding back the economy. Yes, inflation isn't exactly where we want it today, but we have been holding back the economy as we try to mitigate inflation. So there's lots of growth to be had out there in the U.S. economy. Now, the pacing of that, we're slowing down a little bit. But as we look at each one of our underlying businesses, there's lots of business activity. The pace for delivery, obviously supply chains, we've worked through the majority of those issues, but you know, we're still working through working capital issues there. Demand is certainly prevalent. It's really been supply. And you know, so we think that the economy is well set up to continue to grow for a number of years here. We're fighting through this period of nominal growth versus real growth. You know, our nominal growth has continued to be quite robust with inflation, but the real growth can be continued to get better, you know, as the Fed pulls back a little bit and allows our companies to expand. So there's a multi-year horizon here. Yes, we need to tap out inflation, and I believe that we've seen that the economy can remain robust while the Fed continues to moderate the growth and make sure that we get to the end of inflation. But ultimately, we've had the tools. We're at a restrictive growth period right now, and inflation, you know, from our perspective, will cool as things get balanced. That gives us a multi-year run for growth. And I think what's lost on some equity investors is that a little bit of inflation is not so bad for the equity investor. Now, it's tougher for the fixed income investor, you know, as they try to moderate real returns. But the equity investor benefits from a little bit of inflation running through the P&L, as you can see through pricing power and a little bit of enhanced return on equity. So all in all, we think we have a multi-year run here where demand is in place, balance sheets are healthy, and the equity investor might enjoy inflation, you know, somewhere between 2 and 3% as the Fed decides that they've reached their goals.
Thanks, Matt. For some time, the focus of investment headlines has been technology and the development of artificial intelligence, AI, very much growth-oriented themes. Where do you see advantages to a value approach to an investor's equity exposure?
Yeah, it's been some time since value approaches have been in style. So, you know, we've had a robust period of growth investments. And I think what's made that a really robust area is that the overall interest rates have been so low for so long. Now, the last year and a half, as we just commented on, you know, that's changed a little bit. But capital has been somewhat free. So growth companies consume capital. They're in a position where they're looking for new capital to grow their businesses. And investors have targeted revenue growth as a way to value companies, assuming that there'll be capital there to continue to grow the business, and high multiples, you know, have been put on these businesses. Added to that, you know, the discount rates have been somewhat low, you know, prior to the last year and a half. And so we're able to discount out, you know, a company that may be profitable 6-7 years out from now, pretty low rates, and capitalize that. So there, you know, you've seen some pretty fantastic growth portfolios work in this last 10 years. That's changing. You know, now there's a real interest rate out there. There's a hurdle rate. You have to think about returns on invested capital over your hurdle rate. A business that's generating cash now, you know, can grow because it's internally generated cash. You're not asking for capital from the outside markets. So there are some real advantages to a value investment in that they can define their own destiny from a capital perspective. And certainly with the real interest rate out there today, that's more valuable than it has been for some period of time. So we're pretty excited about deploying capital in the U.S. economy, and companies that have capital from their operations to deploy, we think will be the best performers going forward.
That's great perspective. I have a two-part question for you. You know, first, are you finding valuations in the small cap space to be generally attractive at the moment? And are there particular sectors among small caps where you're finding the best opportunities?
Small caps are discounted relative to large caps. You know, really, they've underperformed large cap securities for over 12 years. Now, we had a period from around the year 2000 through kind of through the financial crisis where small caps really outperformed large caps. But really, since the financial crisis, small caps have underperformed. And so we have now compressed small cap valuations lower than large caps, actually at the lowest relative level relative to large caps in my career. You know, so there's lots of companies in the small cap spectrum, you know, that are trading at sub 10 times earnings. They're profitable, they're generating capital, they have demand, they need to meet that demand. But it's one of the most robust opportunity sets that we can find in any parts of the capital markets. We think about the overarching size of the public markets, it's about 40 trillion. Small caps are a little section at the bottom of $4 to $5 trillion. Most of the attention on the news and via ETFs are at the larger end of the market, but the smaller end of the market has been ignored. And there's just tremendous value down there, you know, relative to the rest of the market, you know, that we are excited about. So the trick is getting that recognized. I talked about, you know, some of our approaches to engagement and value recognition, but we have a long shopping list in small caps today. And are pretty excited about the opportunity. Where is the opportunity from a sector perspective? We are investing in, you know, hard assets in the U.S. for the first time in a long time. You know, whether we, you know, think about semiconductor capacity, you know, supply chains coming back to the U.S., ways that we deliver goods and services today, you know, where people work and how they work, an auto car park that we've been unable to meet demand for some period of time, and we've kept used prices high. There's just lots of places in the U.S. where, you know, we need to build, you know, new infrastructure and new capacity. And the government's helping in some spots, you know, they're deploying capital, but much of it is going to be done by corporate America and building out capacity closer to home. And that can create some really nice returns for these small companies. So the industrial parts of the economy, the consumer parts of the economy, technology infrastructure, energy infrastructure. It's just a pretty exciting time to be an investor in the United States.
Thanks, Matt. Many investors have used passive investment strategies for their equity exposure. How does Advisory Research's style of active management provide advantages for investors, particularly for exposure to small caps?
You know, there is volatility in the markets and, you know, buying balance sheets and cash flows and consistency, you know, we tend to smooth the bumps a little bit. You know, we also think that we deliver more upside, especially in the small cap area. Indexing in small caps, you're buying about some securities in that index will be losing money and may not have the ability to survive. We're buying just a more robust set of companies that have futures and have growth in front of them. And so we really think, and you can see in our numbers, you know, we provide more upside potential. So picking through these couple thousand companies that make up the bottom end of the market, we really believe you need to bring active management to that to pick through the rubble and find the companies that are incented to create shareholder value and have bright futures.
Matt, as we mentioned earlier, you sub-advised the North Square Advisory Research Small Cap Value Fund, ticker ADVGX. What is the current investment positioning for the fund?
Yeah, from a sector perspective, we really are in these areas where we see, you know, capital being deployed in the U.S. So, you know, industrials would be one of our top sectors today. Supply chains coming home and demand not being filled because supply chains have been so slow to get back. You know, there's just a lot of pent up demand there, and you know, our companies are positioned to deliver on that, but also put assets in place where they are creating more moats in their business and becoming partners to companies that are going to help out build out U.S. infrastructure. So just a lot of opportunity there over a multi-year period, and we're very excited there. The consumer, we still, you know, need to fill consumer demand. I mentioned the car park. We obviously know the housing development with interest rates high. We haven't seen as much supply come on. So, you know, we believe that, you know, housing will ultimately be a place for opportunity. We're seeing plenty of places where the consumer is demanding certain goods. and we want to make sure we deliver those. So we're finding opportunity there. And then finally, in technology and technology infrastructure, we do have an overweight to technology today. These are more stabilized, robust technology businesses, such as people that would make conductive parts that would go into consumer goods and industrial goods. But we are seeing technology companies as an opportunity where we're underweight. The financial sector, we are underweight today. The interest rate volatility has been tough for these smaller cap banks to manage. It is very tough to really print profits there today. So we haven't had as much exposure there. In small caps, basic oil and gas companies, there aren't as many as there once were. So many of them have been acquired by bigger companies. So, you know, our energy exposure really comes through energy and energy infrastructure, which would be classified industrials. But those that are deploying capital at high rates of return, we see in the industrial, the consumer, and the technology sectors today.
Matt, a final question. How do you see an actively managed high conviction small cap strategy like ADVGX being best positioned in the diversified portfolio of an individual investor?
Yeah, our perspective is that you're buying in at low multiples today, so there's higher rates of return in small caps, and you should have a portion of your portfolio position there. So we believe it is a satellite. It's a risk-taking. You're looking to generate higher returns. So somebody that's using a core part of their portfolio in a highly liquid ETF, we believe small caps should be a satellite and an opportunistic allocation in portfolios. But having a single-digit percentage in those in small caps, and I think the typical investor is not getting this exposure, in that the S&P 500 or larger ETFs are not giving you very broad allocation to the small cap end of the market. A fund such as ADVGX will give you direct exposure to it and places that we think will provide enhanced returns going forward.
Matt, thank you for joining me today. This has been a great discussion as always.
Yeah, Mark, great to be with you again, and appreciate the partnership and believe that there's lots of opportunities today that we hope to take advantage of for our clients.
Thank you for tuning in to our North Square Active Insights podcast. For more information on North Square Investments, our partners, and investment solutions, please visit our website at www.northsquareinvest.com. Nothing contained in this communication constitutes tax, legal, or investment advice. Investors must consult their tax advisor or legal counsel for advice and information concerning their particular situation. This podcast contains certain statements that may include forward-looking statements. Although Advisory Research Investment Management believes that the expectations reflected in these forward-looking statements are reasonable, they do involve assumptions, risks, and uncertainties, and these expectations may prove to be incorrect. Actual events could differ materially from those anticipated in these forward-looking statements as a result of a variety of factors. You should not place undue reliance on these forward-looking statements. This podcast reflects Advisory Research Investment Management's views and opinions as of the date herein, which are subject to change at any time based on market and other conditions. We disclaim any responsibility to update these views. These views should not be relied on as investment advice or an indication of trading intention.